You know, this has been a while since I've been behind this pulpit, so it's familiar but also strange at the same time. But I'm really glad to be here. I come with exhortation from Joel Wells to do not fail this morning. And so I stand before you with a little trepidation. But then he told me on Saturday that he'd be praying for me on his way to Estevan this morning. That's why he's not here. He's preaching in the church down there. So I feel much more comfortable knowing that the lead pastor is praying for me. And I know that others have prayed for me this morning as well. And I'm just trusting the Lord to release a word to you that's in season. I believe that the messages lately have been what I would consider in season words, words that are helpful that apply to our lives that we can, for the season that we're in and for the different seasons that each and every one of us are individually facing. I believe this also is a seasonal word. It's a challenging word. I'll give you a heads up on that already. I've been preaching it to myself for the last 3 weeks and experiencing it over and over. So I'm going to share it with you, and I'm going to trust that you're going to be blessed. You're going to be encouraged, you're going to be challenged, but you're also going to be equipped. And so why don't we just open a word of prayer, and let's pray for Joel as well. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We pray, Holy Spirit, that indeed, Lord, you would minister to Joel as he's traveling, that you give him safe journeys to the church in Estevan, as well, you would anoint him and empower him to preach and release the word in that service here this morning as well, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to say, and give us hearts to respond, Lord, and be obedient to your word this morning, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you know, when I first heard about COVID-19 this spring, I felt the Lord impress upon me that it was going to be like a lingering plague. Now, I didn't like that thought too much, and there were other voices saying otherwise. So I put the thought on the shelf, if you will, and just left it there. But it appears that it has turned out as I initially felt, something that needs to be endured, unfortunately, for a longer time than we first were hoping for. I think we're in our 8th month now, if not longer. And COVID is that thing that has just hung on. And yet we're so done with it. We just don't want it around anymore. Excuse me. We just want it over already. But there are things like COVID that come into our lives, hardships that tend to linger long, and we just have to endure them. But the Bible says this, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, we know that the last days refer to the days ever since Jesus rose from the dead and has ascended and outpouring of the Holy Spirit followed. But perhaps we're in the latter of the last days. Not sure. But we've had difficult times upon the world, global difficult times. I think of World War I, followed by the Great Depression, followed by World War II. Those were difficult, hard, global experiences. And there will be difficult times yet in our future. Suffering is just part of the fallen world in which we live in. Lingering irritations, lingering trials, and tribulations can be part of our lives. Just as Peter has written in the Word, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a while. So what I want to propose to you today is that as you endure various trials as a disciple of Jesus, I want to encourage you because you will be greatly rewarded. Double for your trouble, if you will. So be truly glad, just as Peter has encouraged us. So today we're going to look at what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus. We're going to recap the life of Jesus, what it looks like to be a follower of the Lord. And then, how do we navigate through hardships as a disciple of Jesus Christ? So what's a disciple of Jesus? I think the Lord made it clear in Luke 9:23. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, the New Living Testament says it this way, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily and follow me. So we see that there are three challenges to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. The first is self-denial. We have to give up our way for His way in every area of our lives. And it's so contrary today to what the world says to us. You don't see plastered on the billboards, "Deny yourself today and you'll be happy in the end." You tend to see billboards that reflect the thought, "You deserve a break today, therefore indulge yourself and you'll be happy." Self-denial in our lives actually is the mark of a mature Christian. But you know, self says this, indulge with your finances and hoard your money. But that's not God's way. God's way is be generous. Give, tithe, share your goods with the poor and those less fortunate. Self says use people, gain from people, give of yourself. But God's way is serve people, love people, give of yourself to people. Self says to focus on your own needs and wants. God's way is for us to focus our attention on Him and love Him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. If you're walking in self-denial, you should be able to say, "Lord, I will be whatever you want me to be. I will do whatever you want me to do. I will go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say." That takes self-denial. The second challenge of being a disciple is to take up your cross daily. And here we see that it's commanded for us to do so. You pick it up. It's your cross. You own it. You must do this, and you must do it every day. It's a lingering thing. We face it daily, and there's nothing you can do to change it. So what is the cross here that Jesus is referring to? I think there are a number of things. I think the first thing it refers to is the daily fight that we have with our sin nature. And the way you fight it is you crucify it. As it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." It's taking those passions and desires that are not of God and taking them to the cross, if you will, and saying, "I'm not going to live for them." Another verse that helps us with this is found in Romans 6:11, and says, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." So picking up your cross is the daily crucifixion of your sin nature. The second reference to the cross, I believe, it is the daily persecutions that we go through and that we have to endure as a result of our profession in Christ. And then the third aspect that I believe what he was referring to when taking up your cross, it has to do with those lingering trials and ordeals that bring suffering into our lives. You know, Paul said this, that there was a thorn given to him. It was in his flesh, and it was something that he had to endure. He went to the Lord three times to pray about it, three seasons of prayer. God kept denying him. He would not take it away. It was a cross that he had to bear until the end. God spoke to Paul. He said this, "My grace is sufficient." So whatever cross you are bearing today, whatever trial you're going through, whatever painful experience you're enduring at this moment, God has a promise for you. "My grace is enough." And what is His grace? It is that divine enablement. It's that divine intervention of God in your life to help you bear the pain. Walk it out. Get through it to the other side. He promises that to you. So the cross, though, needs to be carried. Embrace the hardship. You know, there are two sides of being a believer. There's the blessing side of being a believer, and there's the hardship side of being a believer. And I think in Western culture, Western church really emphasizes the blessing part of being a believer. Sure, he blesses us. The favor of God is all over our lives. He spoils his children. He does. And we need to tap in even more into his blessing and declare the favor of God over our lives. But there's another side that we don't really want to look at or even pay attention to. It's the hardship side of being a believer. We need to accept both. We need to embrace both. God allows things into our lives that feel like crosses, and they're there to help us mature and become all that God wants us to be. We need them. It's a good word, isn't it? How come you're not rah-rah? We want to embrace our cross. Yes, Lord. That's how I was feeling. Lord, really want me to preach this? So. Follow Jesus is the third challenge of a disciple. That means to really continue in his teachings. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. As we continue in the word, then we're truly disciples of Jesus. And now more than ever, than any time in history, we need to really stand firm on the teachings of Christ. We need to not let ourselves be moved off of the teachings of Christ. We got to get away from the bless me teachings only and listen to a few more messages like this to really fully experience the following of Jesus. So that's a recap of a disciple. One who denies himself, picks up his cross daily, and follows the Lord. And we're going to use that now as a backdrop to talk about, okay, well, how now do we navigate through hardships? How do we navigate difficult times in our lives as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, I believe that there are three ways. There may be others, obviously, but we only have time to entertain three components of discipleship in view of dealing with hardships. And the first one is, first key component is endurance. Now, the word endurance in the Greek means the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. I'm going to read that to you again. It's the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. And as a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you need to bear up under difficult things. You know? We can't be just all of them come into a hardship and then, oh, it's too hard, can't do it. We need to have the ability to put our weight into it, get under it, press into it. A natural reaction is to avoid it, get away from it, not deal with it. But things like COVID-19, let's not waste our sorrow with this thing. Let's bear up under it. Let's take the load. COVID has hurt us big time. We feel it mentally, emotionally, economically, politically, socially, spiritually. Embrace the suffering associated with that. Get it behind it. Get under that pressure. Don't let it push you over. Let it build iron in your soul and strength for your future trials. Know for certain that this too will pass. It'll go away eventually. Like all the other trials in our lives, this will toughen you up if you embrace it. You know, when I was about 8 years old, I lived on the farm, and my brother and I would go skating in the dugout. Now, the dugout was about a quarter mile away from the house, and my dad would make us walk there. He wouldn't drive us there. He made us walk, so we would walk all the way to the dugout. By the time you get to the dugout, you're feeling cold. You take your boots off, put on the cold skates. You get on the ice. And the theory was that after you tied up your skates, of course, your fingers would be freezing as well, and your feet would be cold. If you got on the ice and you skated really hard, you'd warm up, in theory. At least that was my dad's theory anyway. But it never worked for me. I had really poor circulation in my feet, and I just kept getting colder and colder and colder. Finally, I would get off the ice, put on my nice cold boots because they've been sitting in the snowbank, and walk the quarter mile home. Now, the other theory was, well, if you walk real fast and get home and you'll warm up. In theory. But it never worked for me. By the time I got home, my feet were numb cold. And I was in a lot of pain. Because once you, I don't know if you or anyone can identify with this, but because we live in a much different culture today. But if you've ever been really cold and you've been numb cold with your feet, when the cold starts coming out of the feet, they swell, they get itchy, they burn, they ache, and it brings you to tears. The pain is so bad. And I was experiencing that, a 9-year-old boy, an 8-year-old boy, I can't remember exactly how old it was. And you know what my dad said to me? He said, "That'll toughen you up." You know? And, you know, I think the Heavenly Father is saying some of that to us. You know, you're going through some hard times? That'll toughen you up. Take the cross. Come on, carry that thing. Endure a little bit of pain. Come on. This is a really good word, isn't it? You're going to be encouraged this morning. But you know, about 8 years later, I had surgery on my foot. I got a foreign body and a straight pin accidentally got into my toe, and they had to slice my foot open with 2 or 3 inch incision and go dig around, and they got the needle out, sewed it up, sent me home. Of course, it was all local anesthetic. I get home. They didn't send any analgesics with my folks, and we're on the farm, so we're away from, long ways away from the pharmacy, and then the freezing comes out. I have never felt pain like that ever since then either. It was like, so much pain I was shaking. Like, it was like I was literally shaking on the couch. I think it was the same couch that I was having the freezing come out 8 years before. But you know what? Thankfully, I knew what pain was like. Thankfully, I was familiar with foot pain. It had toughened me up for this new experience. And interesting thing is, I'd come to know the Lord since, or before then, since I was 8 years old. And I started having this worship time as this pain is coming out of my feet. And as the freezing was coming out of my feet, I said, "Lord," I just started praying because this was so painful. I didn't know what else to do. We didn't have any painkillers. And so I was crying out to God. And I said, "Lord, help me, help me." And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came. The pain didn't go away, but His presence became real. And I never experienced that before. And it was just like, He's here. He's helping me go through this trying time. And so I just want to leave that with you. And it was an awesome thing. But you know, Paul encourages us. He says, you do have to suffer. He says to Timothy, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So what did the Roman soldier have to endure? Because that was Paul's reference. Well, you look at a Roman soldier, he had 25 years of service. He was separated from his family and friends to serve the Roman Empire. They were often deployed to fight in other parts of the world where there were great hostility and opposition to them. They had to follow, strict rules. And there were severe punishments if they were broken. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ will too experience hardship. These things need to be endured. You know, another example of hardship is the British people in England bearing up under the bombing blitz during the Second World War. They went through extreme hardship. I mean, can you imagine your home blown to bits and then still standing there making breakfast, you know? It's okay. You know, the people didn't literally say this, but it was like they said, "This is our cross to bear, and we're going to carry it to the end, however that end might look like." And this is how battles are won, personally, individually, corporately. Thank God the Brits took that stand. They endured. the hardship. Otherwise, we would be a different nation right now, under different leadership. Our freedom was secured because they endured. People of God, endure the hard things in your life. It's not only for you that you're enduring them, but for those who follow behind. And there are others around that are watching you endure the hard things. And when you come through, they are greatly encouraged. You know, whatever trial you are carrying, God is using it to toughen you up, make you stronger, to be a brighter witness, a bigger blessing to others. You know that God will take your trial. He will turn it into a blessing if you only embrace it. And I know that some trials are very difficult, but I'm here to tell you that you'll not have to do it alone. You don't have to carry it alone. Matter of fact, God is right there with you, helping you carry your cross. You know, Jesus couldn't carry his cross. God made sure that somebody was at the right place at the right time to help Jesus out. Simon of Cyrene was pressed into service and came alongside Jesus to carry that cross. How much more so? Why not also would not God supply support and strength for you to carry your cross? There's a song that is written, I don't even know the name of it, but I just came across it on YouTube the other day, and Hillsong East Coast was singing it. It says, there's a grace when the heart is under fire, another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There's another in the waters holding back the seas. Who is that another? That another is Jesus. He's right there in the midst of the lingering hardship. He's right there beside you, helping you. And I know it doesn't feel like it. When you go through the trial, you feel abandoned. You feel alone. That's why Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God didn't forsake him. He just felt so forsaken. He felt so alone. But by faith, we know he's right beside us. When you know that God is in the fire with you and in the overwhelming circumstances, then your burden automatically becomes a little lighter. You know he's there. You see, enduring hard times is a bigger victory than flourishing when the conditions are perfect, according to Matthew Barnett. He understands this. So true. But why is that true? You see, when you're in hard times, that is when you get to yoke up with Jesus like never before and learn of the grace that's available for carrying loads. Just like when I was on that couch and the freezing was coming out of the surgery, the Lord came alongside. I felt the yoking of the Lord. And Jesus says this, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy ladens and heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And he goes on to say, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Jesus promises that if you will bring your cross to him, that he will yoke with you and make that burden easier and make that burden light. In fact, God is the one who will give you the endurance. As it says in Romans 15:5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you. Now, the second key component of discipleship in the face of hardship is this: stop your grumbling. This is a hard commandment. Very hard to do. I've fallen into this trap so many times, especially lately. I've got other stories I can tell you, but I don't think I have the time. Of all the times I've been grumbling over the past summer, of all the different circumstances, situations that come into my life, I've been grumble, grumble, grumble. Nothing will stop your personal growth more than complaining. Scripture says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Everything? Yeah, everything without complaining and arguing. You know, the children of Israel, they were miraculously delivered from Egypt. They get into the wilderness, they wander around a bit. They run out of food, they run out of water. God takes care of those things, but they're still not happy. And they feel the hardship of being in the desert. And they say that soon the people began to complain about their hardship. And the Lord heard everything they said. The first automatic response is as soon as it gets a little bit difficult or a little bit hard, we go, oh, it's just, that's too hard, Lord. It's difficult. And it says, oh, and then we begin to grumble. It's kind of an automatic, but it's not healthy. It won't help us get through the trial well. And just before the children of Israel about to enter into the promised land, they're right on the verge. They're right on the border of going into the promised land. They send their 12 spies in. Of course, you know the story. 10 come back with a negative report. 2 come back with a positive report. They believe the negative report that the giants are there. The fortified cities are there. They're too big. We can't do it. And they said this, and all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and people wept that night, and all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation to them, would that we died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Oi, 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 oi. Some people groups understand what that means. And because of their lack of faith and complaining, they did not enter into the promised land. Someone has said this, if you complain, you will remain. One of the best ways to get out of negative circumstances, perhaps the fastest ways to get out or get through negative circumstances, is just to be positive and praise God in the midst of it, and God amazingly changes things for you, changes you first, and then circumstances come later. Sure, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult, but we can do it. We can endure hard things, God being our helper. Whatever hardship you're facing, I implore you, do not complain. It will only keep you in your negative circumstances. Well, we know that the antidote to complaining is thanksgiving, and we heard a great message on that as a winning attitude a while back. Joel preached that one. We want to give you a 30-day challenge. Don't complain about anything for the next 30 days. I'll challenge myself, too. That's going to be a real challenge. But we can do it. Are you up for it? Some of you? The online church is up for it, aren't you? Yes. No complaining for the next 30 days. Oh, and your Facebook post? Only positive. Hey, only positive. All right, try it. You see what will happen to your attitude? See what will happen to your spirit? Amen. It helps us get through the trials of life. There's a third key component in discipleship, and that is this, is that you need to look to the reward. You see, there is a reward for enduring trials. There is a reward for carrying your cross right through to the other side. And there are verses of scripture that I'd like to read to you now. So let's not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. How many of you would like to reap a harvest of blessing? So how many of you, oh, I just wish I had so much blessing and more blessing in my life. Endure the cross. Get to the other side and you'll get it. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Whoa, and you want all the promises of God? You can have them. They can be yours. There is reward if you will endure. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. If you endure to the end of the trial, you'll be delivered at the end of the trial, and you'll be delivered from the trial. Because the Lord knows how to deliver his people from their troubles. Scripture says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. There is life promised to those who endure. Pick up your cross, carry that cross. More life is coming. I guarantee by the word of the Lord. Jesus endured the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him. He knew there was reward. I'm telling you, there's reward for every hardship you've ever gone through. There is reward. God promises it to us. Hang in there. Go through it. Endure the pain of it. Embrace the pain of it, because you know that there is coming a great reward for your trouble. Double for your trouble. It's coming. Just be patient. So in conclusion, if you will deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow Jesus, endure to the end, I will tell you that you will reap a great harvest. Absolutely. So be truly glad. I agree with Peter. Be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead. Even though you got to bear some things right now, okay? Joy's coming. Now, I want to pray with you. And I want to just give you some... I want to give you something in prayer this morning. And I want to, you know, the crosses sometimes are really challenging. At times, there are crosses that are so heavy, and they leave scars, deep scars in your soul, in your life. Sometimes they're raw and very, very difficult to go through. If worship leaders want to come, that's fine. You can come now. That'd be great. Give me a little music background. I want to give you a prayer. I don't want to make the cross a frivolous thing, because some crosses are not frivolous at all. Some of them just really go deep. And I just want to minister to those of you who are carrying a heavy cross. I know that some of you are in the church today carrying a really heavy cross. Psalm 56, verse 8 says this: You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. The Lord sees every pain that you've ever gone through and what you will ever yet go through. And he feels it, and he's collected it, and he will never forget it, and he will reward you accordingly. And he promises that he will wipe away every tear, and we will walk in freedom and life and liberty. And right now, I'm going to pray for those of us who are really under the weight of a heavy cross right now. Online church, I'm going to pray for you as well. I'm going to make a declaration that whatever it is that you're carrying right now, God is there with you. And so, Lord, I make declaration over the house, Lord, the in-person and online right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and whoever else is listening to this message this morning, Lord, I declare that you will come alongside them and you would yoke yourself with them. Lord, if they're feeling abandoned by you right now, Lord, I pray you'd make yourself so real to them. I pray, Lord, you'd make yourself so real to them. They would know that you're there with them, and they would feel, Lord, the power of God come into their lives and lighten that load that they're carrying right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare over your house, Lord, an enduring power. The determination to grab a hold of the grace of God that will enable each and every one of us to take those crosses all the way to the end. And Lord, we trust that you will reward in your timing and in your way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Online church, thank you so much for joining us today. Have yourself an awesome week. Look forward to seeing you again another time next Sunday for sure. Lord bless you. Amen.
Thanks so much for taking the time to watch today. We really hope you enjoyed it. Please reach out if there's anything we can do for you. Just give us a call at our office or prayer line. If you decided today for the first time to dedicate your life to Jesus, you need to tell someone. And why don't you tell our pastoral team? We'd love to celebrate and pray for you. We also will send you some free materials to help you in your walk with the Lord. So please reach out at the link below. Thanks as well to all those who are partnering with us financially to help us reach even more people. Remember, you can give at harvestconnect.ca/give. Lastly, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe and click the little bell to get notifications. If you're on Facebook, please like and follow our page. That way you'll be the first to know when we upload new content and go live. And as always, please share, like, and comment on this video. It goes a long way in helping expand our reach in sharing the good news of Christ. You could change a life just by doing that. And we have lots of good stories of how someone shared our videos and an individual found hope in Christ. Thanks again for watching. Be blessed, and we will see you again soon.